Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Thing I Love Most show with me, Noel Varbon. And this week, once again, I'm joined by Mr. Matthew Coulson. Matthew, welcome, Matt.
Thank you very much.
I have no idea what that was. And Lee Curtin, how are we doing, Lee? You all good?
Yeah, very good, mate.
Nice one. Okay, so we're doing a Skype show once again this week because it was just too difficult for us to get to our pub in Tottenham. So, we're going to crack on straight away. So, obviously, it was a bit of a crazy one yesterday. The last minute winner against Fulham, it wasn't the best of games, to be honest. The most frustrating thing, I suppose, for me was the fact that that was the team that I really wanted to see in terms of, I really wanted win backs. I thought that we were going to play to Llorente's strength in that respect. I thought we were going to really push forward down the wings and get some crosses in. And we didn't. We really didn't. Like, Rose was trying his hardest. Trippier was just non-existent again. I mean, God, we'll talk about that in a bit, but he's surely just like, Walker Peters has got to be just fuming at the moment to see that performance. But anyway, so, you know, in general, it was an interesting game. I thought set pieces wise, we again didn't look particularly comfortable. We looked quite dodgy, in fact. And you would have thought with having three experienced defenders at the back, that wouldn't be the case, but it seemed to be that way, which was interesting. And obviously, you know, we got lucky at the end. I thought Winks was fantastic. He was my man in the match. Rose was a close second, I thought. And I thought all three centre-backs played well, actually. But I mean, it's just one of those games. I mean, our away record just continues to be absolutely exceptional. It's incredible. I can't believe it. It's just like, it's insane for the way that we're playing, and that's not particularly well. So let's start off with discussing the performance of the striker, because obviously that was one of the main talking points before in terms of was he going to be the replacement? Were they going to change the formation? They obviously went like for like and they went for a hitman. Do you think that it was that he just didn't get the service that he was required, or do you think it was just a poor performance? I'm going to go to you first, Lee.
It was disappointing, first and foremost, because, I mean, I was stood there behind the goal as well, around a lot of fans, and everybody kind of really wanted him to do well. And I just thought, I mentioned it before, and I will mention it again, because I think it is only fair. And if you played a game, you play at a level and you train at a level, and no matter what people say, the intensity is different. The way people put tackles in on you, the way people move around off you, it is different. And he looked yesterday that he just looked a half a yard off. And I know he's played the cup final game, and I know he's had 5 minutes there, here and there. And he found himself in a couple of good positions, which for me, I'll go with and take the positives out of that. He found himself in a couple of good positions. His reactions seemed to be just off. You know, he kind of caught one on a shoulder, and he kind of just missed that glancing header. And I think that just comes with games. And I think if he plays again, that comes with games. What I will say as well, though, in the first half, we didn't play to his strengths. We dropped a couple of balls into him in the middle of the pitch. And I think Lamella and Ali were meant to be running off him. And they were nowhere near him. He knocked down a couple of balls, probably two good knockdowns out of all of them. And there was nobody around him. So we didn't help him look good. You know, we didn't help his cause in the first half, and it's only when like it became urgent, and second half, you know, time running down, we started whipping crosses in and started the diagonal balls into the box, and yeah, it looked like that's what we should have been doing in the first half and giving him more of a chance. So all in all, yeah, I know people are going to turn around and say, oh, he's not good enough, and he's just not very good. And I just think that's harsh. I think it's harsh under the circumstances. And we have to help him. If we're going to use him, we have to use him better. And the lads around him have to use him better. And I know we've got a bit of a platform. So before I pass over to Matt, I think it's very important. When he scored that own goal, I was really disappointed not to see not one of them boys give him a smack on, you know, a smack on the back of the head, on the back, say, listen, get your head up. Everybody just kind of turned their heads and went, oh. You know, and I thought that was a little bit disappointing, because I thought our camaraderie in the team and squad is usually on point. So, yeah, that was just a little thing, you know, and for the fans who do listen to us, you know, we have to get behind him. He's going to be there. He's going to dig us out of the hole. And it's in our best interest to, you know, to push him on. The same way we did with Sissoko and a couple of others, you know, we don't want the moans and groans. Just get behind him. And the lads on the pitch need to play to his strengths a little bit more. He's not the answer, but he's what we've got. So we need to the best of our ability.
Matt, do you agree?
Yeah, I do actually. And do you know what? I wasn't at the game. I mean, I watched it on TV. And whenever anyone scores an own goal, the camera goes to them, doesn't it? And it's just this, it focuses on them for ages. And you really feel for him. And do you know what? That's a really good point, Lee, because I didn't actually think of that. You know, we're looking at him standing there by himself, and there isn't any of our players, like you say, just saying, come on, let's keep your chin up. And if anyone needs that, it is Lorenzo, isn't it? Because, look, don't get me wrong, like, I find, especially on social media, you see a lot of fans, like, they'll see one performance and they'll judge someone on that one performance. And honestly, the amount of flack that guy's getting online, and he's won more trophies, like, you know, like, for domestically in Italy and internationally with Spain, than a lot of players, like, that, you know, that are playing in the Premier League. So he's been there, he's done it. And, you know, he's getting on a bit, you know, what, 30, he was 33, 34. And it's just, for me, it's just rustiness for me. Like, I know he had that game, like you say, Lee, had that game against Tranmere. But apart from that, he's, like you're saying, he's getting 4 or 5 minutes at most, like, occasionally, you know. And I don't know if it was mentioned on this show or I heard it somewhere else with Lorenzo. But, you know, when he does come on, it's normally when we're winning, you know. So we're trying to keep the lead, he's not getting the ball passed to him anyway, so he's not even seeing the ball even when he does come on for that sort of 4 or 5 minutes, you know. So yeah, he's gonna be rusty, isn't he?
Or it's the long ball, you know. It's the time, it's the old, you know, just literally just throw him up there with Kane and then hope for the best, as it happened against Burnley, and we ended up getting the winner. So I think it is a tough one for him, and I agree to a certain extent. I think he did look rusty. You could tell, you know, there were normal chances that he normally would have taken. You know, he's good in the air, and it's just a timing thing. And then obviously strikers need confidence, you know, so that not only the own goal, but just in general, his confidence playing with the team. You know, playing with the teammates that he's not played much with before. You know, we always go on the show about the cohesion that Kane has with Ali and Eriksen and others. And, you know, that doesn't come overnight. That doesn't come just from starting one game. That comes with playing together a lot and knowing each other's runs and knowing each other's games. And I completely agree with Lee. We didn't play to his strengths at all. But I think because of the fact we did play wing backs, the whole midfield was so deep. It was like, you know... The Eriksen and Lamella were coming really, really deep and not really doing anything with the ball. Like, you know, it was very much sort of like just walk. And we struggled, obviously, against men behind the ball again, as we always do. It's just one of these things. We just can't play against it. Like, we just go back and forth, sideways and sideways, look for those little in passes to get in behind the defence, which Rose did a couple of times, Trippier very, very rarely. But that's the key. When you are playing, you can't go down the middle because it was just so congested. So all these little like tricky passes with Ali and Lamella, you're going to get us nowhere. You have to go wide. Yeah. And it was Winks that was actually doing that. He was actually being the extra man. He was going and being with Rose or Trippier and actually like doing little overlaps. And he was the one who was realizing that was where the space was. But I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And I think you got to actually mention Sissoko, because I think if he was playing that game, he's the linchpin. He's the one who can go from, you know, defence to attack. And we were missing that. We were absolutely missing that, you know, and they're different players, Eriksen and Lamella in that respect, and Ali. They don't have that same pace. They don't have that same drive. And I think it was glaring that we were missing both Kane and Sissoko, but for different reasons.
Yeah. And with Kane as well, you know, the team are used to playing to Kane's strengths, aren't they? And Kane and Llorente are different strikers. So it's almost like they've completely changed the game. And you can't just do that, can you? You know, we've been playing that way for so long, like you say, with all the players we've got. So it must be hard for them to kind of adapt to Llorente's style. So, but it's funny, when Nkudu come on, and obviously Winks got the goal at the end, didn't he? But he was putting in crosses, wasn't he? It was just a shame almost with Nkudu that he didn't start with him, because Llorente might have got more service, mightn't he?
True. Yeah, that's a good point.
I thought that might have been one of the changes, actually, because it got to a point where I was just going, got to be Sterling and Nkudu. You know, that's all we've got in terms of really affecting the game and making a change. And I was, you know, I was there going, well, we've got to take one of these guys off. It's got to be, you know, it's probably got to be Toby or Jan's got to come off, and we've got to rip, you know, got to whip one of those boys off, Trippier mainly, because we just weren't getting down and getting the crosses in. And it's funny that you say, Noel, because in the end, it was Winks that went out to Trippier's side, and he started the move that he actually ended up finishing. You know, he scored on the back of a move that he started in the right back area. So it was a hell of a run on his part. But yeah, it's, you know, he's what, 22, 23. If he's picking up on that already, you know, and taking a game by the scruff of the neck, you know, he will be some player. But yeah, it's disappointing to see that none of the other guys really kind of picked up on that earlier as well. I thought first half we was just dreadful anyway. Mm. We were so flat. We were so pedestrian. And as you say, you could see how narrow they were. You know, they had 10 guys in the middle of the pitch, and we still persisted with trying to go through there. And then we'd go out wide and Trippier wouldn't get a cross in. So then it would go back and over to Jan and over to Toby and back out to Trippier again, who couldn't get the cross in. And you just like, going, what are you doing? And
yeah,
got Brente in there, all 6 foot something of him, going, just put a bloody cross in.
Yeah,
so one, we missed it when it came in, is probably shocked the one came his way.
Hit him on his shoulder. I think it also highlights not only Kane's finishing, but I think also his hold-up play and his touch. You know, if you look back at so many of the games which Kane is involved in, when he hasn't scored, he's so involved in those attacks, holding up, making these runs, you know, laying it off to Trippier or to Rose Davies, whoever it is, or, you know, Ali. He's such a good player. We were obviously, you know, any club would miss a player of his talents, and it's not just his goal scoring, it's everything that he brings to the team. And Llorente obviously isn't anywhere near like that kind of player, but his strengths are different. And I think it was really difficult, because they didn't really, they were trying to also play into his feet, and his touch was off, and, you know, again, rustiness. But it's difficult, because obviously he's a very different type of player, so they have to play to his strengths if he's going to be in the team, because it's no point just trying to go into feet with him, because it's just not his game.
Yeah.
There's no point in killing him either. You know, so the boys behind him do have to step up. And I didn't think Lamello, I thought Lamello was awful yesterday. I didn't think he showed up. No, I think Eriksen was off very early. You could see he wasn't on his game. I know he got the assist, and his second half he was a lot better, but first half was terrible and very deep, as you rightly point out. And if we've got to use Llorente, then those boys have to be up and around him. You know, they have to be squeezed up and around him if we're gonna use him. But Sissoko is a big miss. And I know we talk about Kane's movement there, and his link-up play is hugely underrated. Hugely underrated. But if we didn't have Kane yesterday, it was Sissoko and Sonny were my biggest misses from yesterday. Because had Sonny been in and around Llorente running through those channels, it would have been a different outlook as well.
Well, if anyone was up there, you know, if anyone was offering some kind of support, because that's quite one of Llorente's strengths, is that he does bring people into the game, and he does, you know, they will get flick-ons and stuff, but there was just such a distance between him and the rest of our team that it was like he was isolated. It was really difficult for him.
You can see with, you know, and Tranmere, it was obviously, it's like very inferior opposition, but you saw the way Sonny worked with Llorente in the Tranmere game. You know, that kind of link-up plan, him bringing into the game, that was what we saw, wasn't it? You know, so, yeah, definitely missing yesterday.
So it's obviously silly season now, once again, with the transfer rumours. And this week it went full silly when we were linked with £2 million of transfer of Andy Carroll. I mean, where did that one come from? Like, who is, I mean, some journalists, I swear to God, where have they brought that absolute monstrosity of a story from? Okay, Matt, do you think there's any truth in it whatsoever? Can you ever see six foot rocking up at White Hart Lane?
No, please. I mean, there was this stat going around, wasn't there, about that when he started the season every year at West Ham, and I think the earliest is like the mid-November, isn't it? And that's every season for the last 6 years. It's just, he's too injury prone, isn't he? I think he can bring something to a club, like with his, like when he was really playing well for West Ham, you know, really getting in the mix, and, like, you know, when they were chucking balls in, and with his sort of power and his, you know, just that raw kind of, I don't know, like the size of him, I guess, like, you know.
He gives away so many fouls, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's not, Yeah, he's just no, not in a million years. I mean, just yeah, not the kind of player we're looking for at all.
No, I agree with that. I think he's, in all fairness, I think his Premier League days are probably done. Let alone signing for us in the Champions League football. It's not happening. One of the guys in the group did say, and side, I think it's. He would literally break under our, I think our training regime is so intense that he wouldn't even make a November start, a December start, or a January start. He just wouldn't start. I genuinely don't think he would. I don't think he would get himself fit enough to make that grade. So I think it's just a paper talk. It's a good story for the papers of a certain caliber. So no, it'll be a no. And I don't think. Pochettino would look at that and go, that's the guy for me.
Would you guys, talking about though, the West Ham strikers, would you guys take Arnautovic if he was offered to us?
I would have. I think he's got a lot to offer. And I think his move to West Ham, I know a lot of people judged him when he was at Stoke. But people judged Shaqiri as well, didn't they? And his work rate and his fitness levels. But listen, he's gone to Liverpool and look what he's done. And Arnautovic, to be fair to him, he's led the line at West Ham and they look at him as the main man and he seems to have thrived off that. So you surround him with, some quality players like Ali, Eriksen, Kane, I think you get a level out of him that nobody's seen before. I think he would be a good, but not a 50 mil, by the way.
I think that's what they're asking for, aren't they? Because the Chinese club came in for him. So, talking of strikers that are 50 million and above, there's obviously Callum Wilson has also been touted this week as well as potentially coming. I think it's very unlikely in terms of the money that we'd have to pay for him, firstly. And then secondly, one, do you think he would want to come and play potentially second fiddle to Kane? Or do you think that we would change our system? Do you think Poch would find a way to squeeze him in?
Well, I was going to say the problem we've got is you hit the nail on the head with Kane. It's just so difficult, isn't it, to get a player in that's going to. Like, I mean, obviously Kane's injured now, isn't he, for a couple of months? But as soon as Kane's back, is the first name on the team sheet, isn't he? So, just this is the problem we're always going to have, aren't we? Which is, I guess, is why we have Llorente in the team at the moment, because he's coming to the end of his career. He's happy to sit on the bench, isn't he? But yeah, I think it'd be a struggle to sign him from that point of view.
Yeah, I think he's young enough to want plenty of games, isn't he? I think he's still, he still sees himself as playing regularly. However, I do look at him and think he could probably play in a Sonny role to a certain extent. I think he could be one of those three behind Kane. Although I'm not too sure he would, that's something he would happily do or want to do. But we're talking about playing 50-something, 60 games a season now. If you've got a quality striker or somebody with the calibre of Wilson, you've got to be thinking Kane probably needs to be rested at some point. And I think these injuries that he keeps getting at a very similar time of year, I think it might be down to the work that we're putting him through. And we might need to review that as a club. We might need to look at that as a club. And I know they're always on about Kane going, I want to play, even when he's on the bench, against Tranmere or whatever, and he's like, when am I going on, sort of thing. Yeah, we have to get away from that. If we want the best for him and we want to get the best results for ourselves, then he's got to start sharing that workload.
And there was also so many times in the past couple of months where we were like, 3-4-5-0 up and they kept him on. And, I don't know why. I mean, there's no reason for that in my eyes, and it would have actually maybe benefited Llorente in terms of giving him a bit more game time, and I don't know why Poch is doing that, because there was, and the same with Sissoko, Sissoko played so many games consecutively and now he's got an injury, and it's like, it's not rocket science to work out that your body's going to be strained from all of that consecutive work, because he was, all over Christmas, it was him and Winks in the middle, he just didn't get a break.
The difficult thing with Kane, though. And Ali as well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, with Kane, the thing is with him, he's a world class striker, isn't he? And it's just impossible to drop him, isn't it? when you got a player like that, and we was talking about it earlier, I mean, it's not just his goals, it's what he brings to the game, and he's just undroppable, and that's the problem.
Yeah, but when you're 3-0 up, when you're 3-0 up at home, that's the time. You know,
yeah,
that is the time.
So, yeah.
Just because it's just crazy to rinse him out like that. Mm. And Malcolm was the other one, the guy that we were interested in before in the summer. And apparently he might be coming to us on loan from Barcelona. Any thoughts on that?
This is Malcolm in the middle, right? Malcolm all popped up every transfer window the last two or three windows. Right? I've got this guy.
Oh, he's off. Kayleigh.
No one knows.
Not Aurier.
I know, but listen, no one knows Sweet FA about him, right? And even before he burst onto the scene, his goal stats, wherever he was in Liga 2 or somewhere, were not very impressive. They weren't very great. And it's the old one of, yeah, let's put a YouTube clip together and make him look. it ain't gonna work in the Premier League. So Barcelona jumped on it, ramped the figure up. He's gone to Barcelona. He started one game in 14. He's got four goals, and I think they've come in like the Copa del Rey or friendly. If he can't cut it with Barcelona when they're setting up chances on a plate, you're not going to come and scrap with us. He's not the answer for us. And no. You know, people keep spouting his name around. I'm asking them tell me a bit more about him. Tell me, because nobody can. They're going, yeah, let's go and pay 30 million for him. I'd rather save the 30 million. And put it to somebody decent in the summer.
I think he's going to be quite similar to Moura as well, isn't he? Because he's got a bit of pace, bit of trickery, but you know, not necessarily a great finisher. So I think it is very similar, it seems. And when they were trying to get them, they were trying to get him at the same time, and then obviously they went for the other one. So we shall see. But do you think they're actually trying? Do you think they're going behind the scenes to try and get someone in? Do you think that Kane and potentially Ali injury now? Do you think that's changing their mind? They've obviously got a little bit of money from Dembele. I know it doesn't work that way, but you know, it's also about squad size. You know, Poch has always wanted a small squad, and he always said behind the scenes that it's basically you need to let people go before he wants someone to come in. So there is a space available now. Janssen might be offloaded as well, you know.
The thing is that a lot of people are talking about the fact if we sign someone now, like with our injuries, it's panic buying. But I don't agree with that, because if you think about it, in the next 2 weeks, right, we could potentially be out of two cups, couldn't we? We could be out of the League Cup and the FA Cup. And also we've got two league games in the next two games in a week after that. So we've got four games that could, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I said this before. I still don't think we're going to win the title. Like I say, I always thought Liverpool and Man City are too strong, but they're two Premier League games that if we win, it keeps us up to pace with them, doesn't it? So you look at Chelsea, looks like they're going to get Higuain on loan. Now, he could potentially play on Thursday. And if he does, you know, like he's a quality striker. And if he bangs in a couple of goals, they're in the final. So it's not a panic buy. It's like this period of time now, like it's the worst period of time for the injuries that we've got. I mean, we talk about the Fab Four. We've lost three of them now, haven't we? We've lost three of them for the next few weeks. They are the core of our attack. That's where most of our goals come from. So for me, I feel like we should get someone in, even just for a loan until the end of the season, just to get us through this crucial period, really. And I don't think it's knee-jerk, and I don't think it's panic buying.
No, I agree with you. I think before I was okay with it. I was like, no, we can work a formation around it. We have the players to score the goals. But on the back of Ali limping off on Sunday, you've got to go, we probably need a fresh pair of legs in there, just another pair of legs. And a loan deal might be the answer. Mm. And I don't, again, I'm with you. I don't see it as a panic buy or a panic, you know, a panic decision. I see it as a very good decision to get us through a difficult period. And if we're not shilling out no money on it, then so be it. But then it is, you know, who is that person?
Yeah, but they've obviously been scouting all season. It's not like, you know, their scouting system, just, you know, just because we didn't sign anyone in the summer doesn't mean they don't scout. They obviously know their targets, and they've obviously, you know, made some little inroads. So I think something may come. I think something may come. I wouldn't be surprised at all. So yeah, we shall see. So, Matt, you just mentioned the Chelsea game there, which is a very, very good link. So I mean, you're right in terms of it. Higuain is a class player, so I prefer that he's not going to play. So fingers crossed that doesn't actually happen before Thursday. Chelsea looked pretty average against the Scum on the weekend. I thought they were just. I mean, Sarri even said it himself with the fact he's going on about that he can't motivate, he implied that he can't motivate him because he said there was no motivation. It was a really, really weird press conference, and the fact he made the interpreter say it all, it was all quite strange. But we'll see what goes on at that club. Why is that the one club where they suddenly come out and like they coat their players? It's just weird. So, are we going to expect a reaction, or do you think they're just flat at the moment and fingers crossed, you know, they don't turn up on Thursday? What are you thinking, Matt?
It seems that all especially London clubs always just seem to raise their game about us, don't they? They seem to have this little special hatred for us, don't they? And you see it with all the London clubs. I mean, even like West Ham, even that's like a tough one, isn't it? You know, but look, we beat them last season at Stamford Bridge. I mean, what we've beat them the last three times we've played them, haven't we? So, look, I don't think we've got anything to fear. We've got the lead, and like I said after the game, you know, when we spoke about the game afterwards, as long as we don't lose, we're through. You know, we can draw or win, and we're through. So, well, our squad's threadbare at the moment. So, I'm just hoping the Poch factor can sort of get us over the line. But I think they'll be up for it. Yeah, I can't see him being as flat as they were in the previous game.
Yeah, he's gone for the old reaction, isn't he? The game on Saturday is done and dusted, or the game at the weekend is done and dusted. He sits in the press conference, and he's probably clever enough to sit down and look forward to a game that can define their season to a certain point. You know, whatever way you look at it, a trophy is a trophy, and you know, I for one wouldn't mind taking that trophy at this point. I would love to see it, you know, go up in the new stadium. So he's sat down, being very clever about it. And he's done a Lee style rant. That's why he's kept it in Italian, though. He just went mental, and his translator just toned it down for him. And he got away with a bit more.
He did, yeah.
To be honest, though,
he only spoke for about 6 minutes, not 25. So, and he did mention Aurier once. So,
not yet. So I think he's gone for the reaction. We need to be set up. We need to be prepared for that. And that's why I think it's very important that we probably don't try and change too much come Thursday, and we give Llorente the love and we give Llorente the support. And, you know, it's another game in very quick succession. And, you know, should he play, I fancy one smacking him on the side of the head and dropping in the near post.
What, so he's not actually heading it, it's going to just hit him.
Just bring his timing into a little bit more. He'll head the one at the weekend.
In terms of lineup, obviously Gazzaniga is likely to play. Do you think KWP is going to get his chance? We're all obviously massive Kyle Walker-Peters fans on the show. We do think that he deserves his opportunity. So do you think that's going to come? I mean, if he does play wing-backs, then surely he's got to play Rose again, because Rose was so good yesterday. If you play wing-backs, you have to play Rose. Mm. And fingers crossed KWP as well, because they offer so much more going forward than the others.
I like with Rose when, especially the game against Fulham yesterday, he looked like the old Rose at times, didn't he? You know, the way he was bombing it down sort of the left wing. I felt like we're kind of really getting our Rose back now, aren't we? But with Kyle Walker-Peters, he wasn't on the bench, was he, against Fulham? No. So he's not even, it's a complete mystery why that guy isn't anywhere near the first team, because he completely deserves to be, absolutely. And like, if we're playing this wing back formation, for me, Kyle Walker-Peters is perfect for the right side. Perfect.
Yeah, I walked in there yesterday, I knew he was playing wing backs. I was really expecting to see him. I really expecting to see him on the other side, on opposite Rose. And he went with Trippier again, who didn't deliver again. You know, and I just think, God, like KWP, he'll give you the pace. He's tenacious, and he can get a cross in. So he does actually push the opposition back. He does take them to the touchline.
Exactly.
I don't know why he's continuously getting overlooked. I know he's still young, but I tell you, he's got some games under his belt. He's got some experience under his belt, and you know what, if you've got to drop him in against Barcelona, then surely you should be dropping him against Fulham. You know, it's a little bit bizarre, but you know what, let's hope it is wing backs on Thursday, and let's hope he is on the right hand side. And I'm with you, Rose on the left, who I must say is starting to look like he's enjoying his football again.
As much as
anything else, he looks like he's enjoying it again.
Bit trimmer as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
I loved his reaction to the diving booking. He was just like, when he said to the ref, you could see him. He got up and he was like, "Are you effing having a laugh?" A proper northern. It's like, "Are you effing having a laugh?" Brilliant. I love that. That was just like, yes, Yorkshire boy. It's like, "Are you having a laugh?" Brilliant. I thought it was so good. And I mean, God, can we mention those two decisions? Sanchez gets fouled by Mitrovic, gets thrown to the floor like a flipping WWE move, and then he just stands in his ground and he gets booked.
But he actually walks away, doesn't he? He walks away from it.
Absolutely ridiculous. I know he was sneaky in a couple of other moments in the game. He did a little bit of blocking off and he's clever. But for that particular incident, it was absolutely ridiculous. And then for the Rose one, you could see that the player was coming towards him, but he didn't leap. He waited for the contact and then he went because he knew it was coming. He was clever. That was not a dive. It was absolutely shocking.
And they called it on Sky News this morning. They do that ref watch. And I can't remember the name of the official who comes on. They just torment his life every week.
Dermot Gallagher, I think.
Yeah, and he said they got it wrong. He said it was, you know, the foul, let alone a yellow. I mean, he was moving at some speed, by the way. He was absolutely important. It wasn't the Salah tap on the back of the leg and go down 10 seconds later.
Oh dear. We've got another cup game this week. This is obviously turning into the weaker cup. So we've got Palace away on Sunday. They're sort of like a little bit inconsistent at the moment, but they would have had a week off. I'm trying to remember they did quite well against Liverpool, actually. I did see that game. They did okay. They've obviously got an attacking threat, which we should be worried about. Zaha's decent, you know, and they've got the centre midfielder, whose name I'm not going to try and pronounce, the one who takes penalties. they got some decent players, so it should be quite good. We didn't even do a prediction for Chelsea. So quickly, predictions, Chelsea.
I'm going to go 1-1.
1-1.
Yeah.
1.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I'm scared. Too scared to say anything else. Okay. So, I actually think it might even be 1-1 on Sunday as well, to be honest, because I've just got a feeling that I don't know. I normally do predict us to win, but I think it's going to be quite tough. I think it's going to be tough, and I think they're going to be really up for it. The Palace, and they're going to like us going there, like us being in a bit of bother in terms of having our players out, and I think they're going to really go for it. And so obviously we'll have only played a few days before with Chelsea, so depending on how that game goes, obviously it can't go to extra time, which is good, because then we're going to be a little bit more fit than if we did have to play extra time. But I think, yeah, for me, I don't know, I think it's going to be 1-1 again. I think we're going to have 2-1s. What do you think?
I'll in our current predicament, I'll take that. I'll take a draw and buy us a little bit more time. I know I said have a game, but it'll buy us a bit more time to see Sonny back in the picture and maybe Kane a bit closer. I know he won't be ready for the replay, but it just buys us a bit more time if we're going to be successful in the cups.
Yeah. I mean, Palace, I mean, on paper, we're obviously a better squad than Palace, but I always hate going to that ground because they've got fantastic support there. Their fans just don't shut up today from the minute one to minute 90. And I'm probably going to go with a draw. I don't actually want a draw because I know you're saying about people, getting back to fitness, Lee, but it's another game.
No one wants a draw, but it's better than a loss.
Of course it is.
Better than going out. And I think you sometimes just got to, like, you know, just take
your losses.
You can get type thing. Yeah, you know, exactly. So I think it'll be interesting. And then the league games, we've got, you know, 3 league games in a row, which is pretty decent. And then we got Dortmund as well. I bought 4 tickets the other day, and it was like an average of about £35 a ticket, which wasn't bad.
Loaded. I ain't got no money left. Still waiting for January payday. I'm waiting for. You're out there splashing out on tickets.
I need to actually look at my refund, actually. I didn't even look at that. Okay, well, I think that is the end of the show. Is there anything else that you want to bring to the table, lads?
I do. I just want to touch on something. I wanted to touch on it last week, and I forgot. And, you know, because we're building a fan base, and again, like I mentioned before, we've got a bit of a platform. And I just want to touch on that story that was in the paper a couple of weeks ago when one of our fans was shouting out a bit of racist abuse towards Sonny. And one of our other fans stepped in and, you know, he got a mouthful. We're a classier club than that. We're a lot better than that. And, you know, I think our fans just kind of need to step in and just stop that, nip that in the bud. We're so much better than that. And, you know, Sonny's one of our top boys. He needs the love. So, you know, if you're out there and you're listening and that sort of behaviour is around you, then, you know, get on board.
Yeah, completely agree. There's no place for it, is there? I mean, there was a guy on social media. I can't remember his name now, but he, I don't know if you saw it. He was sort of doing a selfie video, and there was this an Asian guy behind him, and he kept making these really horrible racist remarks. And when I went on social media, the guy got absolutely destroyed, you know, and to the point where I think he took his Twitter account off. And I think brilliant, because, you know, there's morons out there, but most of us aren't, are we? And I think as long as the morons are getting picked out and, you know, getting castigated, then fantastic, you know, and that kind of hopefully will at some point, fingers crossed, just get it completely out of the game.
I agree. But yeah, I mean, we're lucky in that, I have never heard anything like that. And so, yeah, fingers crossed. But like you said, Lee, if you do hear something like that, then, you know, you've got to step up and put it to bed. So, nice words.
We're classier than that.
Yeah, definitely. You're right, mate. You're right.
Thank you very much, guys. Once again, it's been a pleasure having you on board. Hopefully, we'll be at the pub next week. And if we are, we're going to be doing an Instagram question and answers and questions that we did before. Q&A, that's the one. So thank you once again, guys. As always, we are on all of the social media outlets. We are TTILM Show, the thing I love most show on Facebook, TTILM Show on Twitter, and on Instagram. And you can see us as well as hear us. And if you want to watch us, even though it was a Skype show today, we are on YouTube as well. So thank you very much for watching and listening once again. We do really, really appreciate the support. And if you do want to get involved in the show in any way, please do send us a message. We'd love to hear from you. So fingers crossed, we're going to go for 2 draws this week. But hopefully it's going to get us in the final, and then it's going to get us in the next round of the cup. So fingers crossed, everybody, and enjoy your week. Come on, your Spurs.